Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Please join me in welcoming the writing team of Will Smith I and Tony Smith, who've written a wonderful book entitled The Waymer. Welcome, Tony and Will.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing real well.
And it's a pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you, Tony. I'm really happy to have you with us. Can you both tell us a bit about yourselves and your background?
Tony, let me tackle that one.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Tony and I's background are totally different. We grew up in different places. Our family structures are different. Tony grew up in Wilmington, Delaware with seven brothers. And I grew up in North Philadelphia as an only child.
Oh, wow.
Now, you can imagine what a difference that is.
Yeah.
Although we are dissimilar, we're similar in that we both love music and we both love people. And that's one of the things that has kept us together.
That's beautiful. How do you coordinate your time to work together since you're in different areas?
That's really not a problem. We're both retired now. When we met, we weren't retired. And then shortly after, I would say about 6 months, Tony retired. So we were just two guys with a lot of time on our hands and looking for something to do. And the thing that we found to do, of all things, was to make a movie.
That's right.
Can you imagine that?
That's interesting. I'm going to retire and make a movie.
Make a movie.
Yeah. And you remember what our motto was? We don't really know what we're doing, but we're going to get something done, right?
We got we're going to get something done.
We did
have fun.
Yeah.
Well, that's the important thing.
But it didn't take too long before we discovered that we didn't have a story.
Ah.
And trying to make a movie without a story.
Impossible.
That's totally impossible. So we took some time off from making a movie, and we went and got a story. We drew on our backgrounds, the people that we knew. We did interviews of people. Artists, musicians, friends, family, strangers, just everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So our book basically it's a reality-based book. It's fiction, but it is reality-based.
Give us a taste of your book and what you'd like your readers to take away from the experience.
You know, we enjoy thinking and talking about large human concepts. So the book is based on people's need for love, truth, trust, loyalty, and the overall importance of one's character. And that this is we try to especially focus on truth and character.
Those are big concepts.
I beg your pardon?
Those are big concepts.
Yes.
Right.
And the thing that we really like about the book, I guess, is the end where everything gets resolved and the conflicts are all worked out. I guess not all of the conflicts are worked out, but some of them turn out for the better and not some of them don't turn out so well, as is
in life.
The case in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and also in the foreword of the book, I think it explains a lot about, you know, where we're coming from with the book. It says that the book was written to entertain, but even more, this book was written to help us appreciate the great gift and responsibility we have been given in being blessed with life.
Absolutely.
Right. And as Maya Angelou tells us, life must be about reaching for something beyond surviving. Yet in the living, we are destined to be flawed, to make mistakes, and oftentimes be forced to come face to face with our demons. Right, Will?
That's right. That's right.
Well, he quoted from one of my favorite poets, so I'm happy.
Yeah.
Maya is one of our favorite writers.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you who my most famous writer is.
That's what I'd like to know.
Tony Smith.
Really? Tony Smith is your favorite writer of all
Tony
time?
Tony Smith is my favorite writer of all time.
Does he compete with Shakespeare and Shaw? And
No, he doesn't compete with any of those in my mind.
Aww.
He's the best.
Wow.
That's big company, Tony.
I'm telling you, I don't know where that's coming from.
Well,
but thank you, Will.
Look, just in case I say something wrong, that might keep you from beating me up.
Oh no, I would beat you up. You're my friend. Hey,
favorite writer, Tony? Since you're in that category, you must have some favorites.
To tell you the truth, Tony Smith.
Well, all right.
you
could have said Will Smith.
And Will Smith.
All right. I feel better now.
Feel good? Okay. Hey, but let me tell you something. We learned a whole lot about being co-authors. Wow. It took a lot of collaboration and a lot of I had to practice a lot of restraint in working with an only child. You remember, Will is an only child. I come from a family I have seven brothers, and we kind of learned to work together. And Will is an only child, so I always like to harp on that. But we got it done. We got the book finished. And,
well,
friends, so.
I tell you, one thing that we learned is if you don't collaborate,
mm-hmm.
it just makes you stupider. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, you're right.
How did you find writing together? Do you have different writing styles? How do you bounce the ideas off of each other?
Oh, Tony, you take that. You tell me about
it. Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, like I said, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy because, I'm used to writing and saying things a certain way, but we had to compromise a whole lot. There was a whole lot of compromising that we had to do. I remember one time we were talking about how certain scenes should go, and I got really frustrated and told Will, "Well, just go ahead and do whatever you want to do." but that doesn't really work. We really learn to work together and to come to happy mediums. That was the most important thing, with co-authoring. So,
and then it got better with time.
Yeah.
And then we tried to establish some rules.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, a framework
mm-hmm.
that we could work within. And we think we came out with a pretty good product here.
Mm-hmm. Way more.
Yeah.
Way more.
I think it sounds a fascinating book. I can't wait to read it.
Yeah.
Where did the book come from? What ignited your imagination to write that story? I know it's reality-based, but there's always some place the spark of an idea comes from.
Well,
go ahead, Tom.
Being a musician, I've played with a lot of people. I'm a jazz trumpet player.
Mm-hmm.
I've played with a lot of people, and many of the characters in the book are based on people who I used to play with. Their personalities, and some of them were a little bit more interested in how the music went, and others were more interested in other things that involves musicians who play out on the road and things like that. And Will, he owned a knife business, and he had a bunch of workers that, and we would get together and just talk and laugh about some of the characters, and so that kind of inspired us to write a movie about these people and their personalities and just having a little fun with it. So go ahead, Will.
Well, one of the people we started with was named Wayne Morgan.
Right.
And Wayne Morgan is a drummer. And we went through several different titles before we finally came up with Waymore. I think the first title that we came up was No Two Drink Minimum. And there were a couple others that escaped me right now. But we took Wayne Morgan's name and we just shortened it down to the Waymore.
Oh.
You know, and when you go to the club Waymore, you get way more than you bargained for.
Yeah.
That's where that came from.
Yes,
that's where it came from.
It's a fictitional club outside of, in the suburbs of Philadelphia, where you get way more than you bargain for. That's his motto, Wayne Morgan. And he's a special character, too. He took on a life of his own.
Yes, he did. And, yeah. You know, out of all of the musicians and all of the workers that I had working for me, I was also in the refrigeration business. And as I started to get older, I also had an ice business, so that I could keep my children working. And as I got older, I stopped doing the refrigeration altogether, and I just did the ice business. And a lot of the characters that I had working for me in that period in my life, some of their stories, bits and pieces of their stories, are told in the book also.
Hmm. How do you combine your writing time, you know, coordinating writing between two different places, and your family time? I know you're retired, but, I mean, you need time to concentrate, but you also have family obligations. How do you combine all that?
Well, you, as you said, we are retired. All of our children are grown. So that kind of leaves you a lot of time. And then we have we socialize together, so you know that's a lot of time spent together. And we bounce ideas off one another,
right?
And now occasionally we travel.
Yeah.
Now, you travel now, together?
Yes.
Yeah. Now to backtrack a little bit, you remember we had a whole lot of time after you recorded on your label, Will. I used to come up to your house.
Right,
and purchase CDs.
Right.
And we would play pool, right? Sometimes for 3 or 4 hours at a time. That's where the inspiration for this book came. We were talking about, you know, things while we were playing pool. So eventually, you know, getting up, meeting up with Will was pretty easy because a lot of times I was really either on my way to a gig or coming back from a gig, and I stopped to Will's house and we get work done. So, and we contact each other on the phone a lot and talk about things, run things past each other. And, you know, he's only, 29 miles away from me, so I'll just get on the highway and shoot up there, or he'll shoot down here to my house. And we get work done that way. So.
And actually, right now we're trying to turn the book into a movie. So that's a challenge also.
Yeah.
And we just seem to find the time to collaborate and come up with ideas and, you know, try to get script together and situations and so forth.
Is your son helping you with that, Will?
Well, you know, I'm a dependent, so I guess I can say he absolutely is helping with it. But as far as the actual writing of it or anything like that,
oh, no, of course, that's true.
No, he's not. But he's given us a lot of perspective on theme and character development. and all of the things that you need to do to be a pro at telling a story. Mm-hmm. He gives us a lot of tips along those lines.
Well, that's probably a very great help to both of you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What has your experience been in getting published? Did you enjoy it? Was it horrible? How did you feel about it?
Actually, it was pretty tough, and really not knowing the business. Of course, you know, you're going to make mistakes until you get the ins and outs of things and how things work. It's totally different from any business that I've ever been involved in. So it's very hard. Yeah, it's a little tough. And even now, we're still learning on you know, how to enhance distribution and advertising and that kind of thing. But we're getting there.
Did you go get rejected, or was it like immediately they loved it, or did you have like piles of letters? How did that work out for you?
Well, the main problem that I found was communicating exactly what I wanted in terms of the typeface, the spacing on the letters, type size, the colors in the cover, and that type of thing. It seems like everybody has a preconceived idea of how they want your book to look.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you want your book to look like you want it to look.
Of course, it's your baby.
You know, but when you take it to somebody to have it reproduced, it's like they have their conception of what your book should look like, and everybody wants to make changes. You know what colors you want, you know what type size you want, and so forth, and you know how you want the spacing, and so forth and so on. And that was a problem conveying how we wanted it to look. So that required doing the layout ourselves, which took us into a whole another skill set.
So did you get an artist to help you, or do one of you do the concept yourself?
Even with artists, you need to know what language to speak to artists in order to convey to them what you want done. Or you have to do the artwork yourself.
And which way did you go?
I found a person that I could communicate with.
Ah. That's the best thing. I mean, it's hard. Once you find that person, hold on tight.
And then you just can't say to a person, well, I want this to be blue, and I want this to be green, I want this to be orange. You have to tell them what shade of blue and green and orange. You know, so now you have to know the math
scheme
that's assigned to numbers, the numbers that are assigned to colors. Okay, this is a 255 green or whatever. So it's a learning process. Any author that is an author has worked very hard to become an author.
Yeah.
And I salute all authors everywhere.
Yeah, me too. As a writer, I completely understand.
Yeah. It is. It's a whole new skill set.
What is the biggest satisfaction you have in completing and publishing your book?
My biggest satisfaction is doing presentations and book signings.
Yeah, because you get to talk to people.
Yes, and I happen to write songs for characters and things like that, and when we do our presentations, we perform.
Oh, wow.
We do readings. We just have a good time. Even Will even does a little dance every now and then. So,
Sherry,
yes.
the truth about that is, I used to do a little dance until the dancing wore me out.
Did someone talk to you, Will?
But it was fun. It's fun.
Yeah, I guess the biggest part was, you know, the collaboration, mm-hmm. and bringing the talents together, mm-hmm. to get a job completed. You know, it's an accomplishment. And anytime you can accomplish something, it always brings a fervor.
Yeah, and I like the feedback when people read the book. They say they pick it up and they can't put it down. It's
yeah.
so exciting. And that gives me a good feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the best part is talking to the readers, the people who've read it.
Yeah.
You get that feeling of, oh, good, someone understands where I'm coming from, you know.
Yeah, and we've done shows where the folks have already read the book, and then we go in and do our presentation, and then we do question and answer. They're asking about the characters. And in the beginning, I was so excited about that. These folks are really into the characters that we developed, you know.
Yeah, yeah, but
awesome.
You know, that's the best.
Yeah,
that's
awesome. Makes you feel good.
Yes, yes. That's awesome.
That is like the best part, because if that is something that popped out of your imagination and now it's in other people's imaginations and they
yes.
love it, that's a great feeling.
Yes. Ask the questions, well, if this character did this, well, why did they do that?
Yes, yeah.
Then we come up with the words to explain why, you know, but it's awesome. I get a good feeling from, you know, doing presentations and question and answer and things like that.
And the thing is, you know, the characters are part of us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, every character you write is part of your imagination.
They're like our children.
Yep, exactly.
Really.
Yeah.
That's what I love about writing, is that you can put anybody in out of your dreams, out of life, out of whatever you're thinking,
mm-hmm.
some part of yourself, and disguise it. That's the best part about being a writer.
Yeah.
Do you have a love of history? Does that have any part in creating your stories?
Well, you know, we have a healthy respect for history. And I think I can speak for Tony when I say it's a good predictor of the future.
Yep.
You know, I wouldn't say it had a huge impact on the story, but history certainly colors the way that you view life, human nature, and our overall perspective.
That's true. That's very true. I think that's one of the things most people that say history is boring miss, is that you can't be boring. It's us.
It is us.
Mm-hmm.
It's what everything is. History is the building blocks of what everything is built on.
Exactly.
And I
have a passion for it, but the thing is that when you bring it into a story, whether it's just a current history or your own history,
mm-hmm.
that's bringing it to other people, and then it goes on and on and on.
Well, the fact of the matter is, history can't avoid being in your story.
Yeah.
You know, because you're either writing from your experiences or your imagination, and I think it's a combination of both, your experiences and your imagination. So history plays a huge role.
I agree. Do you guys use social media at all?
You know, I'm kind of old school.
You're getting better.
Yeah, I love. Well, I love to learn.
Uh-huh.
It's challenging. As you know, I constantly saying that to you, how challenging it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, you know, and Tony uses social media more than I do. So I guess for me it's more of a tool than it is a passion.
Well, that's good. I mean, I think one the best things about the internet, the invention of the internet, is how it brings the knowledge to everybody. I mean, you can go into the history, the Library of Congress, and read any book you want.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
Because you, in the old days, you had to drive to Washington, you had to get permission from the librarian, you had to sit in the library. It was
right.
Like, now you just kick.
Right. And up-and-coming musicians nowadays, I mean, the media has really, I used to take trumpet solos and I would listen to them note for note. I would turn the turntable down to 16 and scratch my records up, listening to each note that the instrument was playing, and
mm-hmm.
and figure it out and write it out. And now you can go on and pick out, I want the solo to this song, bang, and there it is written out for you to play. So the media.
It is amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. You know, what the internet has done, you can find anything you want.
Do you use it for talking to your fans?
Yeah, I use. I'm a Facebooker, and I haven't got much feedback on the book yet. From the we've posted a lot of our interviews,
mm-hmm.
Our performances. We have a site for all of our performances, our TV interviews, and things like that. What is that site, Will?
Well, it's on. The Waymore.com.
Waymore.com, yeah, right.
And it's also right. on our, the record label site, which is PhillyThroughMyEar.com.
I'll have those two sites on my blog on Friday when I follow up on this. So
oh, wonderful.
You'll get some traffic into it from this interview.
Mm-hmm.
What is your Facebook page, Tony?
My Facebook page is Anthony C. Smith.
Anthony C. Smith?
Yes.
Okay.
Anthony C. Smith.
I'll put that in there, too.
Yeah.
We don't have that much time left. Tell us what you're working on or what's coming up next.
Well, as I stated earlier, we're working on a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to take us some time. At that point, after the movie's done, we're going to try and go more in depth with our individual characters.
Are you going to do a sequel?
I hadn't thought about a sequel exactly. Had you thought about a sequel, Tony? Or
well, you know, people are asked, and I know there's people who have read the book are asking, "Oh, who's the sequel going to be on? Which character?"
Okay,
so,
okay, yeah. So, so we have pretty much really eight viable characters with different backgrounds that we can tell an in-depth story on. So that's probably how we'll approach that.
Wonderful. I'd like everybody in our live audience to thank Will Smith and Tony Smith for their wonderful interview. Next week, we will have the wonderful author Greg Kuhn and his book, Why Quantum Physics Don't Get That. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Will. It was a really fun interview. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.